Great.
Let me put up the agenda for you guys.
Okay, are we ready?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay. Called to order, Burien Airport Committee, Thursday, May 19th, 6:02 p.m. Could we please have a roll call, please? Or I'll do the roll. Do I do the roll call? I'll do the roll call. I myself, Kevin Schilling, am present. Vice Chair Karen Valoria. Mayor Sophia Aragon.
Present.
Council Member Jimmy Mata. Holly Musser Guerra.
Present.
Savannah Sly.
Present.
Steve Wydick. Not here. Jeff Harbaugh.
Yo.
And City Attorney Garmin Newsom.
Present.
All right, we are all here except for Karen Valoria and Councilmember Mata and Steve Wydick. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All right, moved and seconded. Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's move right into it. So to our business agenda, discussion of our June 21st meeting. There's a conflict because City Council is having our meeting on that day. So we need to end a little early. I don't think there's any problem with that. Would anyone have a problem with that? That's one of our big council meetings.
Should we start a little early?
We could. How much business would you anticipate being on that agenda, Garmin?
Honestly, at this moment, I don't expect anything beyond
major.
Really has.
Okay.
Obviously, we'll see what happens tonight, but no, I don't anticipate anything unusual.
Okay. All right, then I don't think there's any issue. We can be expedient and go for 30 minutes if there's just a short business agenda. Any questions with that meeting or with that situation? Okay, well, why don't we leave a good amount of time for this presentation on the climate action plan? Paige Morris with the city, and it looks like Savannah will be a part of this as well. So this will be a big topic of discussion, so I want us to have a good amount of time for it. So take it away.
Great. Thanks, all. I got a little notification that my internet was unstable. So if I cut out for any reason, just jump in and tell me to stop and I'll turn off my video. We can go from there. So yeah, these slides were from Tuesday. So apologies on the date being incorrect, but good evening, everyone. It's good to see some familiar faces. I was here almost a year ago talking about the development of our climate action plan. So I'm excited to be with you tonight to talk about what's been going on since that last meeting. Next slide. So tonight's presentation, I will cover a brief introduction to climate change and some of the local Pacific Northwest impacts that we will be seeing. I will give an overview of the Burien Climate Action Plan and then discuss with you all where we are at as staff with our 2022 Climate Action Plan implementation efforts. Next slide. So really briefly, I wanted to just kind of paint the picture of what climate change is. Climate change is happening now when we are seeing an excess of greenhouse gases released into our atmosphere. These gases, such as CO2, some carbon dioxide and methane, when they're released, they get trapped in our atmosphere. And so they trap extra energy, causing global warming. And this is really being expedited by the amount of fossil fuels we are burning as humans. And it's really causing that imbalance to change our climates across the globe that we're seeing today. Next slide. So some of those impacts that we're seeing are happening at a local level. Specifically in King County, we've been seeing an average air temperature increase from 1990 to about 1.3 degrees. Our heavy rain events are getting heavier. So we're seeing increases in flooding across the county, as well as increased landslide risks. The snow and ice in our region are melting, which affects our natural environment and the local agriculture we rely on. And our sea level is rising. These impacts sometimes will be happening gradually over time, such as the air temperature increasing and the snow and the ice melting. And some impacts for climate change will happen dramatically and suddenly, like flooding and landslides and heat waves. Next slide. So we are approaching, again, that 1 year anniversary of that record-breaking heat wave we had last year. And when we are talking about climate change in our region, you know, this is just important to remember that we are living through these effects right now. Last year, we received a record-breaking heat wave in this area where temperatures were 30 to 40 degrees above the average normal temperatures for that week. And this is really indicative of how climate change will continue to impact our community moving forward with these sudden and detrimental that happen very quickly. Without any climate action, rising temperatures, sea level rise, heat waves, and floods, these are expected to increase and disrupt and damage our local infrastructure, property, labor, productivity, and really at the heart of it, the viability of our community. Slide. So knowing all of that, even before I got this job, Burien developed a climate action plan. And really at the heart of what a climate action plan is, it's a strategy and a plan for a jurisdiction to mitigate and adapt to climate change. So there's three goals oftentimes to a climate action plan. It's to mitigate or avoid, or to remove greenhouse gas emissions, so to mitigate climate change, to support community health and well-being, so adapting to some of the impacts of climate change, and to continue to build a resilient economy in the face of all these changes. Next slide. So with that in mind, Burien began developing our first ever community climate action plan in 2020, and we were able to adopt that plan last year, November 15th, 2021. Within the plan, we have five different focus areas that look at different pockets of Burien and ways in which we can affect climate. Within the whole plan, we have 46 climate actions. And really at the core of the Burien Climate Action Plan, even throughout the pandemic, was getting community feedback on what was some of the most important actions to consider in our plan. So we had 15 community advisory group members that were along with us the entire way, helping us shape our climate action plan. We held three virtual workshops where those community advisory members attended, but also brought along those in their circles in Burien. We had a survey that was released to the community in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese, and received, you know, almost 300 survey responses to help prioritize different climate actions for the plan. And we went around to all the different boards and commissions and talked about the climate action plan and got some feedback from them on which actions they wanted to consider for the plan. Next slide. One of the biggest pieces of our climate action plan and what really helped drive some of the initial discussion around our climate actions is the greenhouse gas inventory. So in 2019, these are the emissions that Burien produced within our jurisdictional boundaries. So what this is showing you is that About half of our emissions come from transportation within the community. That could be people driving through the community. It could be you leaving to go work in a different city, or you, or people coming into your community with their vehicles. The other half, really, the other blue portion of this pie chart is looking at energy that's used in our community. About 31% of our greenhouse gas emissions come from residential energy, with 15 coming from commercial. And I want to point out here that a lot of the energy greenhouse gas emissions are heavily because of the natural gas use in Burien. A lot of the, Seattle City Light Energy comes from hydropower, so it's renewable energy. So this really comes from the natural gas use in Burien. And about 4% come from our solid waste consumption and disposal. So when we look at our solid waste, we do not have a landfill in our backyard here, but we do produce waste and we need to get rid of it. And so some of that is captured in this inventory for how much of our community is producing for greenhouse gas emissions. And I'm happy to talk about this more when we get to the end about presentations, because this, or questions. Next slide. So looking at our inventory internally and with our community, we determined some emissions reductions targets. So we would like to reduce emissions number, which is on the side, 50% by 2030, which is a short 8 years away. And then by 2050, we hope to reduce our emissions either by reaching greenhouse gas neutrality or reducing our emissions about 95%. And these are aligned with the Washington State greenhouse gas reduction targets that were adopted in June of 2020. Next slide. Another big graph, and I'll try and break this really quickly, and then we can talk about it later during the Q&A. But essentially, this is a wedge analysis, which takes a look at Burien's emissions and forecasts into the future ways in which we can reduce our emissions over time. So if you look at the top portion of the graph, the yellow line that says historic emissions is a estimation of Burien's emissions prior to 2019 when we did our inventory. The black line at the top talks about what our emissions would look like if we took no different action at all for 30 years. Our emissions would steadily increase. The different colored wedges, the portions of the graph, look at different ways we can reduce our emissions over time as a city. So the gray portions look at things that are outside of our control, which are the federal fuel standards, which are increasingly getting more and more efficient over time. And CETA, C-E-T-A, which is the Washington State Clean Energy Transformation Act, which works with different energy utilities across the state to continue to produce clean energy. So over time, that will help Burien reduce its own emissions without us having to do anything. But the colored portions of the graph are ways in which we as a city can attempt to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. Some of the biggest wedge portions really are looking at residential natural gas, so getting people off of natural gas, and also looking at residential energy efficiency upgrades, so increasing the efficiency of the energy used in your home. The red dashed portion of the graph at the very bottom looks at the remaining emissions that we need to reduce to reach zero emissions overall or carbon neutrality. We don't know the answer to those right now. A lot of new technology will come out in the next 5, 10, 15 years that will help get us to that point, just as electric cars have gotten a lot more affordable and the market for electric cars is a lot more achievable nowadays than it was 10, 15 years ago. The same thing will happen with other technology moving forward, but we don't have a crystal ball to look into the future on when that would happen. Next slide. So knowing all of that, these are the 5 focus areas of the Burien Climate Action Plan. It covers strategies and actions for reducing greenhouse gas emissions at the local level within our jurisdictional boundaries, and it addresses those major sources of emissions that we were looking at earlier. Mayor, would you like to say something? I see your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Paige. I'm sorry to interrupt everyone.
Oh, go ahead.
Can somebody email Karen Valoria the link to the meeting? She's unable to find it. She's trying to get on. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
No worries. Okay, I'll jump back in really quick. Sorry, I switched off your screen. There you go. You want me to wait, Nate?
No, you're okay. I just had to pull the email.
Gotcha.
I'll
okay.
The message.
Thanks. So these are the five focus areas of the plan, looking at transportation and land use, buildings and energy, the materials and consumption, water and natural systems, and community resilience and well-being. The first four listed are really looking at, they have a combination of different activities, but ways in which we can reduce our emissions in Burien, but also ways to adapt to climate change. The last focus area, community resilience and well-being, really takes a look at how we as a city can help adapt to climate change for our community members, especially those that are disproportionately impacted by climate change. And just to reiterate, this climate action plan covers strategies to reduce emissions within the Burien city limits. Next slide. So I was talking about the last focus area, which is community resilience and well-being. In our climate action plan, we have a lot of action IDs floating around. The community resilience section starts with the letter C. And if you take a look, you know, the water and natural system starts with W. So these are some examples from our climate action plan. And these are not the full descriptions. These are just a really high level overview of what some of them look like. But this section focuses on ways Burien can prepare for climate change through different community initiatives. And we know that climate change is deeply inequitable, and it affects communities, frontline communities, in a different way than other communities. And so these actions are trying to bring both equity and climate justice, as well as climate mitigation, to the forefront in Burien's climate action plan. Next slide. So knowing all of this information about Burien's climate action plan, you're probably wondering, how does this intersect with the airport? Why we're here today to talk about the effects from the SeaTac airport. It is really important that we partner with community organizations and other jurisdictions near us, such as Port of Seattle in our neighboring jurisdictions, because they are critical in helping us reduce our greenhouse gas emissions and help mitigating those climate reductions. And even though our inventory, which you saw earlier, does not include emissions from the airport, we know that Burien residents can face disproportionate impacts from climate change and from noise pollution because of our proximity to the airport. Knowing all of this, I just wanted to reiterate that even though our greenhouse gas emissions inventory does not include airport emissions, it is still important for the city to continue to work closely with the Port of Seattle to help meet our climate action goals and strategies listed in the climate action plan. Next slide. So where are we now? We adopted the plan in 2021, the very end of the year. It is now May of 2022. Since then, we have formed an internal city staff implementation team made up of staff from all the different city departments. We had a training set aside for the climate action team, where we went through different topics such as the science of climate change preparedness, climate mitigation efforts, and climate equity. We wrapped that up in April, and since then the team has each gone through the climate action plan, and we've assigned a staff lead to each action and a department that will help lead each action. And we've begun working on short-term climate actions and tracking what the city is already doing. And finally, we are planning to meet quarterly to discuss implementation efforts, roadblocks, and review different ideas for budget requests moving throughout the rest of 2022. Next slide. Okay, I guess that's the end of my presentation, and I was talking for a long time, so happy to answer any questions you all might have for me. And I guess you can stop sharing the screen unless someone wants me to go back to a different slide.
Thank you for that presentation. That was fantastic. And I mean, me personally, I can see directly how what we do as a city in regards to our airport work ties directly into thinking about our impact on the climate, on the environment, on lived ecosystems around Burien. We've got a lot of them. Are there any questions for Paige?
Paige, I had a question. Oh, I'm sorry. Madam Mayor, you have your hand up.
You're muted, Sophia.
Thanks. well, and this is related to Paige's mention of what we're already doing. So I'm intrigued about, you said that the limits might be just looking at what Burien's impact, but there is a lot of traffic that comes through us to get to the airport. So has been thinking about strategies to reduce that as a contributor to climate change and part of our action plan.
The traffic from Burien to the airport?
Mm-hmm. Or going through us to get to it.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I have to look back at some of our transportation actions that we're considering, but most of them focus on reducing vehicle miles traveled, like you're talking about, through the community. So that involves an increase in public transit options, as well as an increase in other modes of transportation, such as biking, walking, scooting, what have you. Things that we're considering moving forward, I see my internet connection's unstable. Those are things we want to consider moving forward. Right now we are, you know, we had budget for the climate action plan and we, you know, currently do not have any budget for the climate action plan right now. So we're working with what we're already doing. And frankly, a lot of the city is working on climate action. It's just a matter of quantifying it and capturing that and telling the story.
Any other questions? Thoughts, questions? Oh, I see Karen's joined us. Hi, Karen.
And we should have Dave Kaplan, if he could just be elevated. I think he has made it as well.
I was having technical difficulties.
No worries. Savannah, you've got a question.
Not a question, but just some observations. Thanks, Paige, for offering this presentation. I was able to look at it before the meeting tonight. And I just had a couple of observations that I'm sure will be apparent to the group, but that I want to share, that there's a clear shared goal here of reducing air pollution. We've talked a lot about noise pollution and jet fuel particulates. We've talked about cleaner jet fuel and where that's moving. And what came to mind for me was that there has been home improvement packages for reducing noise pollution, and also that we have been working on filtration in places like schools. And this just seems like another reason to focus on air filtration, especially because the wildfires have been so bad every summer, and we can probably expect more of that. So this all made me interested in statewide climate legislation. I'm not sure what all that entails, but if there's any way to work towards cleaner air or reducing wildfires, that seems complementary to also cleaning the air in Burien because of jet fuel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that ties into a lot of our state and federal legislative priorities that we've passed as a council. But I think we as a committee can do a better job of recommending ideas on the front end for council to consider for next year. When council starts developing our legislative priorities in the fall and the winter for our lobbyists, I think we can be a lot more vocal as a committee about what we think we can be done to impact what council chooses to do. Any other questions for Paige? Comments, compliments.
I see Garmin waving his hand.
Garmin, is it a compliment, a comment, or a question?
Maybe all of the above.
All right, I like that. I like that kind of mentality. All of the above. Let's go. Let's go.
You mentioned something about reduction percentages. I think you had like 50%, then 95%. Is that specific to Burien, or is that just in general what we all need in terms of society?
Yes, so great question. Thank you for letting me clarify. That is specific to Burien. Most cities have their own reduction targets that they set for themselves. Burien's is modeled after the Washington State's greenhouse gas reductions. Ours is modeled after that, and it's similar to King County's. Some other cities have more aggressive targets. Ours are pretty aggressive. 50% by 2030 is huge if we could do that. And that is specific Burien's emissions. So this summer is developing the 21 greenhouse gas inventory to inventory what happened last year. So we will now, after we complete that inventory, we can compare what it was like in 2019 and 2021. We'll continue to do that throughout this process to measure our emissions.
Holly.
Hi, I just wanted to comment. I thought it was really good that you recognized that CETA will have an impact on the greenhouse gas emissions that come from utilities. So that's something that will kind of get built in along the way too.
Yeah.
That's a good comment. Savannah.
Yeah, I had elected to help with this part of the process, this specific task. I would love guidance from the group as to what specifically I can do to support the Burien Airport Committee's work in tandem with the Climate Action Plan, beyond reviewing it and telling you my thoughts. So I can talk about that offline with somebody, or if people want to let me know now, I just want to know how I can best serve this task.
That's a great offer of suggestions. I think one thing that for me is a frustration in government meetings generally is that we do a lot of information gathering and not a whole lot of actionable steps. So let's talk about that. I think some next steps that you could do is meet offline with Paige and work with Paige to turn some of those recommendations that are specifically within the airport's purview, and we can turn them into council level legislation that either is ordinance, or a proclamation level work that we send to the airport, that we put into a public statement, that we communicate to the FAA, things like that. So I think a good next step for you would be to do that with Paige offline out of this meeting and come back to us at a next meet at like next month or the month after to have us consider something in the fall on council. So that we can workshop something here in the committee, get something deliverable to the city council, and then at council pass it as council level legislation. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Because I think there's a lot of opportunity here for us to work as a committee, similarly to how the planning committee works, and similarly kind of how the BEDP works, in that, you know, offer council guidance and suggestions on some topics that can turn into council level ordinances, resolutions, proclamations, the things that we actually can do as a governing body. And I think also there is something to be said for intergovernmental communication and for the city to send a communication to the FAA or to the port or someone like that saying, you know, we're seeing what you're doing. We would like to see a little more. Something like, you know, whatever it is that you end up talking about with Paige.
Cool. Great. Thank you.
My topic of personal interest that I think is interesting that we could continue discussing and potentially have within this Savannah is the impacts of airline flight paths over houses and airline flight paths over schools and the impacts of we've talked about this in the past about our ordinance and regulations and codes around housing that's built under the flight path. And I think that there's a lot of interesting potential with that, but that's just a personal thought and personal suggestion. Any other thoughts or comments for Savannah about that question?
Well, yeah, that's why we've got our hands up.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see them. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead. I was on the wrong section of the Zoom.
I understand. You never know who you can see because you don't know how many people there are.
Yeah.
Savannah, if you took Paige through some of the airport, the port websites, and showed her some of their information on noise and sustainable aviation fuel and insulation, she may have a perspective different from what we all have. We're a little bit down in the weeds and the nuts and bolts of noise and pollution, and she's at a little higher level. And I would be hopeful that with all this good information and what's going on, she might come back after she saw that and have some ideas that maybe we haven't thought of and some perspective and maybe even some tie-ins between what she and the other people are doing and what we're more focused on. Paige, have you seen the any of the port's pages on pollution and noise and so forth?
On their website?
Yeah.
I don't know. It might have been a while. I'd love to go through it with you, Savannah.
And if I can help, let me, I have the misfortune of having spent way too much time on it. So if I can be helpful there, let me know.
Sure.
Jeff's misfortune is our fortune. So thank you, Jeff, for misplacing that time. Sophia, do you have a question or a thought?
Yeah, I do. And Garmin mentioned Dave Kaplan, if he's on. I'm just curious if any ideas come to his mind about partnerships, because one of the things that we balance is this overlay of jurisdiction, right? Being next to the Port of Seattle or SeaTac Airport. And so it seems like necessarily we have to work together on things. So if he's here, just wondering if there's some opportunities there. And then secondly, whether or not there's like a climate frame in the SAMP that's coming up, because I think that's another way that we can insert this policy goal in work that we would be doing with the port.
I was just going to say, Mr. Kaplan, if he can, he'll need to accept his promotion to respond.
Okay. Only if he wants to. We'll see if he decides to. Anyone else have any thoughts or questions or comments or concerns?
I will say I had to send an invitation to Dave. So he may have been having some technical difficulties as well. I'm not sure if that's happening now. Because he did message me saying he was having difficulty connecting. So I sent him the invitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if he's unable to answer today, perhaps we can put that as a follow-up in a future meeting since he comes pretty regularly. That would be really interesting. And one more thing I just want to throw in there, because actually Karen and I were looking at some health-related legislation, and we also came across the state legislation called the HEAL Act, which is the Health Environment for All Act that the state legislature passed in 2021. And it talks about looking at communities overburdened by pollution and other environmental risks. And since we've talked before about how our diverse communities are so close to the airport, so most diverse communities in the state are actually in a 10-mile radius, I'm wondering if this HEAL Act has some opportunities for funding or resources so that we can support this climate action plan. But I'm happy to email this to Paige as well so that she can check out the background and see if she agrees and what opportunities she might see.
And it could be an interesting question for Lisette.
Mm-hmm.
And just to respond to that, Madam Mayor, is that I think like all the city has, you know, this was really put together with limited staff, and it's just a matter of like finding the time and the people to work on it. And we will work on this. This is important work, but recognizing that this is tough work that needs to be done, and to get everyone caught up to speed is going to take some time. So we did take the time originally, but we are ready to hit the ground running with this implementation, and we're excited as staff to work on this.
That's good to know. And I certainly agree that implementation just takes a lot more resources to get going. So I always comb through this legislation or grants and things, so just to figure out, you know, how do we get more resources? Because I know we need to look at all the sources available.
You're right. Yeah, we need those resources to get this this job done.
Okay. Any last comments or questions for Paige? All right. Thanks, Paige.
Thank you all so much. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we have a update on Start from Garmin.
Hi. So concerning the April 27th Start roundtable, there was a discussion about discussing a new regional airport. So not a decision that there would be a regional airport, but just a discussion about the concept of potentially having a regional airport to offset some of the load that is coming into SeaTac. This is also the meeting where Congresswoman Jayapal came and spoke, and she shared some information just about the infrastructure bill, of which is, I think, $8.6 billion for Washington. The climate crisis proposing, she actually, I guess, is supporting, not I guess, she is supporting a climate crisis office. Also noted that there is a sustainable aviation fuel bill, as well as protecting airport communities from Particulates Act, so other proposed legislation, as well as discussion about funding for high-speed rail. There was also a presentation by the Airline Pilots Association, and I think the prime thing that they were trying to emphasize is that less than 4% of the planes at SeaTac have the ability to jettison fuel. Mm. Most of the time, the jettisoning of fuel is really more for an emergency, not as just standard practice. But it was important. What seemed very clear is that all planes do not have that ability, and they made that point. There were specific planes that had the ability to do it. So for instance, the 767 has the ability to do it. Also the Airbus A330, the 777, and the 747 can, but there are others such as the 737, for instance, and an Airbus A320 that can't. There's also a belief, again, I'm just sharing the information. I'm not telling you that I say that it's true or anything like that, but that fuel jettisoning above 5,000 feet is completely vaporized before it gets to street level. That's based on an Air Force study. Again, I'm not telling you that that's true, but that's what the study evidently revealed, and that was what was shared with us. They also discussed ground noise, which I think I've actually talked about before, but they kind of came back with the recommendations that I had mentioned to you before, such as rolling takeoffs, taxiing with only one engine, engine run-ups, trying to reduce those, reduce or eliminate reverse thrust usage, especially at night, reduce the amount of queuing. So having the planes line up on the tarmac versus keeping them at the gate until it's time for them to actually to take off, as well as reduce the use of small turbines to power planes. So that was April 27th. And then today there was a steering committee meeting, and obviously much more brief, but of some interest may be the fact that the SeaTac City Council has authorized a feasibility study for the North SeaTac Park. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I can't tell you what the outcome will be, but just that they've decided that they're going to authorize that feasibility study. And then concerning the electrification of airplanes, the statement was made that that is not likely within the next 5 to 10 years, though work is being done in that area. Their belief is that it's more likely, at least in the short term, that they would improve the fuels that are being used to reduce the impacts of, obviously, the particulates and so forth coming from planes. That's the end of my update.
A couple interesting things from that I think we could follow up on in different ways. The first, potentially talking with our federal lobbyist, Mike Doubleday, about anything we could say in regards to, and now you offered a lot from that meeting, but what was the proposed bill that is sustainable jet fuel?
Yes, there is a sustainable aviation fuel bill.
I think that could be interesting for us to offer a city level response if it's worth our, like, that's, I was wondering if we could talk to Mike Doubleday potentially about that bill, and maybe we as a council can talk about that from an airport committee recommendation. So it's something, one thing from me that I think would sound interesting. The second was that I, for a while, have thought that we could potentially write a letter as a committee to the State Department of Transportation, offering our thoughts and suggestions for the communities under consideration of a second regional airport, and sort of lay out what we think as an airport committee those communities should consider if they want an airport, and what they should do and how they should do it, to just offer sort of a guide frame around lessons learned from us being an airport community. I think they're at the stage right now where they're not really sure if they even want it, but they do have six potential city sites that they're thinking about, a lot over in the peninsula, Shelton, Olympia, Gig Harbor, Bremerton. I think JBLM might be another one, but I definitely know that Shelton, Olympia, Gig Harbor, and Bremerton are under consideration for being a second regional airport. But I think that we have the ability to kind of lend some guidance and interesting thoughts there.
If I could, and I mm-hmm. see Mayor Aragon's hand is up, I just want to just add one other thing. There was a discussion about the amount of participation by folks from Vashon Island.
Okay.
The port actually indicated that they would be interested in having a separate meeting with them in order to try to discuss their specific issues, because there is a concern that the folks from Vashon Island are kind of taking over the START meeting and making the meeting less effective.
Okay.
Just sharing so that you know.
Oh, Vashon. What a great place. Sophia, yes.
Well, and thank you for naming these areas that might have a regional airport. I was kind of curious about that. And in addition to lending guidance, wouldn't generally the answer would be supportive, given that we want to reduce the concentration here where we are, yet let others be aware of sort of the, I don't know, what are the boundaries that you want to put when you have an airport? But generally our answer would be yes, that we would want to, quote, share the load, right, with the rest of the state,
right,
hopefully.
Right. I think, and Sophia, I think that would be interesting to, like, for us to consider ourselves just those communities that the State Department of Transportation is considering, and just mm-hmm. maybe potentially do some sort of, just do some, a quick, I mean, not a quick, it would take a while, but that's okay because they're taking a while with this. Mm-hmm. Sort of a suggestion of, like, that airport that you're considering over in Gig Harbor makes a lot of sense because it's around nobody and would not impact anybody the way it impacts us, you know, something like that.
Yeah. I'm just curious though, about, you say the State Department of Transportation will have jurisdiction over the new regional airport. Is that right?
Around picking it.
Okay. Well, I just think it's interesting how many different agencies are in charge of different airports. So we have the Port of Seattle and SEA. And so does King County have jurisdiction over the King County Airport? Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think there's just an observation that we have all these different agencies overseeing different airports, yet, as you're pointing out, there are similar patterns that communities need to be aware of when they have one nearby. And wouldn't it be great if there was a little bit more coordination, right? So,
right.
But anyway, just talking out loud.
Well, and all those ports too, all the smaller ports that the state is considering expanding are all in communities that, like, have their own port commission, mm-hmm. and they're all separately elected. But it's just interesting because these ports they're considering are, like, nowhere near population centers.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff?
Yeah, but what's...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Sophia.
It's like, well, we used to be like that, like,
right,
years ago.
Long time ago. Long time ago.
Just saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. For some reason, the state of Washington is always late to do something, like, mostly transportation related. Jeff, yes.
Yeah, I wanted to share an experience I've had with the port over the last couple months.
I became aware because of something Brian, the facilitator for the START meetings, said, that the minutes that were taken by Dory, the other facilitator at the START meeting, get sent to the port so that they can review them and revise them and do whatever they want. And I said, can I see a copy of those original minutes? I want to compare them to the ones that finally came out. And then I had a nice conversation, a couple of conversations with Marco Milanese at the port, who agreed to send me a copy of those minutes. So I compared the original to the ones that came out as the official ones. And many of the changes, and there are a lot of changes, many of the changes were made it read better, and they were good changes. But on the other hand, sometimes things I thought were important disappeared, and some words were changed around a little, and I thought they were better off the way they were in the first place. And I discussed that with Marco, and he explained to me that, look, what we do is we send this out to all the people from the port are there, and they offer changes, and he allowed is how they're very concerned about certain legal issues, and there were some constituencies they have, and they're worried about the airports and everything. And I'm telling you this because from my point of view, what that means is the START minutes we get at the end aren't necessarily indicative of exactly how the discussions went. But I'm also want to tell you that I'm not saying the port's doing anything wrong in their position with their constituencies. I'd probably do exactly the same thing, which is what I told Marco. But I just want you to be aware that that's kind of how the port works, and that's how they have to work because of who their constituencies are and what their stakeholder situation is and what their priorities are. And they aren't necessarily what ours are. I guess we all knew that, but just digging out that data and then comparing it, the two drafts, and asking some specific questions and not getting answers back was interesting. And that's all I wanted you to know.
Yeah, that's good information to have. I mean, it is, we do have to keep in mind that we are a separate government entity. They're a separate government entity. We do have different constituencies. I think the thing that we do share, though, is that the people that elect Sophia and I are also voting on electing the port commissioners. So there's a little bit of overlap there in terms of like electorate. But also I think there's a desire for communities like ours to, like you said, Jeff, like know what's going on. So Sophia, do you have your hand raised back up?
I do. And I just say, that's why it's really important that we have representatives that go to START regularly, and we do have them, and they'll be our eyes and ears, and not depend on the port's written documents solely, but
right.
There's also ways for us to produce documents from our point of view so that they're part of the record, whatever that record might be. So I'm just saying that it's important for us to be there, for us to understand through our representatives what's happening and use that as a frame. And we also need to build our own relationships with the port commissioners and express, you know, what does Burien desire in terms of their impact to us. So I just wanted to say that even though their minutes may be limited, I don't feel like it necessarily determines or limits what we want to convey or say or are the relationships we have with the port.
It doesn't.
Okay, we're running up on time and we've got two more things to cover. So are there any final questions or thoughts on this? If not, we can continue, but I definitely would like to see us talk about that bill in Congress to see if we could lend any comments about the sustainable aviation fuel, and then also have a conversation potentially at the next meeting or the meeting after, sort of open-ended on, not open-ended, I mean, just sort of begin the conversation around if we can offer some thoughts to the State Department of Transportation on second airport placement. Okay, there's no other comments or questions. Garmin's back up again with the letter to the FAA.
It looks like Madam Mayor has something.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm Deputy Mayor Schilling.
I don't see your hand up.
I had it like manually instead of virtually.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't being consistent. So the two bills that Garmin mentioned, were those Jayapal bills or were there someone else's?
You're muted, Garmin.
I see that. Thank you. I know that she's the sponsor of at least some of them, but I wasn't noting the sponsorship part as much as the substance, what the actual bills are. So I, what I'm saying is I know she said she was sponsoring at least some of them, but I can't attribute all of them to her or saying that she's a signatory to each one of them.
Okay. If she's a sponsor, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, Mr. Chair, if we can, like we did with Alexis from Adam Smith's office, invite her staff to talk about her priority bills about aviation and ask her staff directly how we can help. And then we can also build that relationship at the same time.
Let's start with Mike. Okay. Because if the bills are already crafted, then there might be someone else we need to talk to, right? But I think bringing in, if Congressman Jaipal is the sponsor of it, we for sure should bring her staff in. Mm-hmm. Because remember, we met her transportation person, Sophia. I can't remember what his name mm-hmm. was, but we met him.
I have his card.
Now I'm thinking aloud, Garmin/Nate, can we potentially reach out to both Mike Doubleday and Congresswoman Jaipal's office to see if she is one of the crafters of that?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Jeff, yes. Yeah, last comment, Garmin, on this topic.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Garmin, at the next steering committee meeting, could you ask the port to give the committee a presentation on sustainable airport fuel and what they're doing or not doing, and what kind of timelines they have? They do make some comment about getting 10% of fuel being sustainable by such and such a date, and I've forgotten, but I don't really have any clear idea for what their involvement is. And it may not be that much because it's all dependent on building of infrastructure and federal finance, but I'd still like to hear what they have to say about that
mm-hmm.
at some point. Thank you.
I agree. Is
something that the group wants?
Anyone else want to hear about sustainable aviation fuel in the community? I do. I totally do. Sophia does. Savannah, I see nodding. Holly's hands up. Karen's nodding. All right, that looks like the whole committee.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Garmin, you're back up. FAA.
I believe that this group asked for a draft letter to potentially send to the port in order to have the port reach out to the FAA. And the reason why we're doing it that way is because the FAA said that any communication asking for additional time to review the SAMP would have to come through the port and could not be from the SAMP, or excuse me, the members of the airport group to start. So I drafted a letter for you to consider, and we can make whatever edits or changes you feel are necessary. You'll see I gave the factual background so that just in case it was something that they did not want to remember. And I will tell you that the time it was originally mentioned by the FAA, this thing about how the letter had to be sent, there seemed to be a level of strong hesitancy on the part of the port to kind of commit to sending such a letter, saying that they were considering certain things, but we also could know what those things are. So I figure, you know, they have real reasons, but they just felt they couldn't share them. Okay, understood. But it doesn't change the fact that we still are going to need more than 45 days to have our consultant review what is anticipated to be a substantial document that is very technical and specific in nature. So I've proposed the language that you see here, but obviously, it's really this committee's will that will guide. So you'll tell me what you want. You want more time, you want less time, you want different language, let me know.
Anyone have any thoughts, suggestions, comments about the language in this letter? It looks to me like it carries with it the intent that we initially discussed. Sophia.
Yeah, I agree. I think it has great brevity, and it, I will defer to staff in terms of appropriate time needed to make an analysis. And I'll make a motion to forward this letter for approval to the by the Burien City Council and send to the port as written.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
I second that.
Okay, moved and seconded. Moved by Sophia, seconded by Jeff. Any Buddy have anything to say on that motion? Would anyone like to make a comment on the motion? Going once, going twice. Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand or say aye. I'm going to do both. Aye.
Aye.
Everybody has voted in favor. Okay, that suggestion has been motioned and approved to be sent to City Council for City Council's approval. Mayor Aragon, we should consider that at the next agenda setting meeting.
Okay, sounds great.
I would just, and obviously I'm happy to submit it whenever you want for it to be submitted, but I will say that it seems as though the June 6th meeting is
packed.
So,
yes, we're not getting out of there until 11 or 12. So why don't we...
We could, oh, sorry, go ahead, Chair Chilling.
Well, I was just going to say, why don't we do it for the meeting that's the one that's... What was that, Garmin?
June 21st. It's on a Tuesday because the 20th is a holiday.
Yeah, I think that'll have to be it.
Yeah.
But we'll consider that at the agenda setting meeting for that meeting. Yeah, go ahead, Sophia.
Well, I'm wondering, are there objections to having it in the city manager's emerging issues and just make a brief mention of that in that agenda item?
No, and ask for...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I can certainly let Carolyn know that that's your desire. And if that is reasonable, I can certainly ask her to add that to her emerging issues for June 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Sophia, yeah. I actually do think that works better because the majority of the city council doesn't know about SAMP and some of them might have an interest in it, but I think putting it in emerging issues makes sense, especially for the June 6th meeting that's packed.
Okay.
Great.
I think I'm going to sleep over in City Hall on June 6th. We might not even go to sleep. Okay, we had a motion on that, so we can move on. Anyone for public comment? Going once, going twice. Okay, no one for public comment. Let me see, is there any other?
Actually, Chair Schilling, I should probably be more formal. I should be more formal and actually propose a motion to adopt the draft letter to the FAA as written to be included in the June 6th Burien City Council meeting under City Manager Emerging Issues.
Okay, so that's a new motion. Is there a second to that new motion? Which just specifies it in very clear language.
Ms. Valoria is raising her hand.
Oh, I'm looking. I'm scrolling. Karen. Did Karen raise her hand?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Seconded by Karen.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Let's just say this. Anyone opposed? I'm scrolling through Zoom. Nobody is opposed. Excellent. Thank you so much. Okay, that's our new motion. Thanks, Sophia.
You're welcome.
And there was no public comment. So anybody want to motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
Any second?
Second.
Any opposed? Okay, great. Thanks, everybody. Good meeting.
Thank you.
Adjourned. Mm-hmm.